The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from teenvogue.com and kidspiritonline.com. Our first article today from kidspiritonline.com, The Vast Tree of Artificial Intelligence. This article was written by Siddhant Raj on June 3rd. A new era of code-driven systems and algorithm-based machinery has captured the limelight in the realm of technology. Today, humanity has advanced to smartphones and iPads, dispelling outdated pagers and snail mail, which are now considered ages old. Amid this wilderness of rapid technological development, a new light emerges and is being implemented globally. Augmented by machine learning and algorithm-based methodology, artificial intelligence, AI, is playing a key role in amplifying human efficiency, ranging from transportation to household equipment. In layman's terms, artificial intelligence enables machines to learn from experience and perform human-like tasks. Moreover, AI aids in discerning important data like the rate of poverty, identifying corruption, and determining consumer behavior. Hence, AI may be considered a vast tree that branches toward divergent fields and spheres. Today, it has germinated to the extent that it aids in making decisions and discerning important data, thereby solving problems, taking actions, and making an impact. Sundar Pichai, the chief executive officer of Google, once said at the World Economic Forum, "AI is probably the most important thing humanity has ever worked on. I think of it as something more profound than electricity or fire." However, while it is a prime linchpin of global development, it might also be a major peril to human autonomy. But before we take a deep dive into the future of AI, we must take a peek at its origin. The inception of artificial intelligence. It is commonly believed that artificial intelligence is a 21st century phenomenon. But the truth is that the inception of AI dates back to the 1940s. In 1943, Walter Pitts and Warren McCullough proposed a model of artificial neurons, which served as the seed for the colossal tree of artificial intelligence. In 1950, Alan Turing introduced the Turing test as a method of determining if a machine could display human intelligence by interacting with a human without being identified as a machine. In the year 1955, John McCarthy, prominently known as the father of AI, coined the term artificial intelligence. In 1961, American inventor George Duval innovated the world's first industrial robot named Unimate, a hydraulic manipulator arm used by car makers at the time. Following that, Shakey, the first general-purpose mobile robot, was developed by Charles Rosen, Niels Nielsen, and Peter Hart between 1966 and 1972. In 1997, AI took the spotlight in the sports world after Deep Blue, a chess-playing computer from IBM, beat international chess champion Garry Kasparov. In 1998, the realm of AI expanded its horizon to imitating human-like emotions when American scientist and entrepreneur Cynthia Brazile invented Kismet, a robot that had the ability to determine and respond to human feelings. The future of AI. Eminent physicist and cosmologist Stephen Hawking once said, AI is likely to be either the best or the worst thing to happen to humanity. As AI is rapidly being promulgated and etched onto our day-to-day lives, shouldn't we be aware of where artificial intelligence stems from? How does it continue to develop? And how will it affect humanity in the coming years? Will it give rise to crises, or will it aid socioeconomic growth? This vast tree of AI was just planted by the invention of computers in the early 19th century, and computers are an integral part of every household today. However, the journey of innovation did not stop there. In the past decades, the world has seen a quantum leap in the digital realm. In the 1960s, the first chatbot named Eliza was invented by Joseph Weizenbaum at MIT. The chatbot was Weizenbaum's method to explore communication between humans and machines. In 1999, Sony introduced a series of robotic dogs named Aibo. In 2016, Hanson Robotics developed a humanoid named Sophia, designed to display human-like emotions and interact with people. These are just some of humanity's myriad of achievements in its endeavors to echo the concept of algorithm-based technology, all of which are like leaves in the tremendous tree of artificial intelligence. AI bias. Today, we use artificial intelligence as a wide-ranging tool to simplify our everyday lives. It is most often tasked with performing human-like activities, such as playing chess, detecting objects, and surveying environments. While it does have the potential to propel decades, or perhaps centuries, of scientific research or discovery, couldn't it also be a threat to humanity and its overall development? According to a survey of 979 experts conducted by Pew Research Center in 2018, 63% of those surveyed claimed that the rise of artificial intelligence would help people, whereas the remaining 37% claimed that AI would serve as a threat to the human race, especially in terms of shrinking human autonomy and capacity. Thus, while artificial intelligence paves the future path to technological advancements and innovations, it also comes with a myriad of biases and conjectures, which can give rise to misrepresentation of information or invalid data. However, technology pioneers, entrepreneurs, and innovators claim to be burning the midnight oil to resolve this issue of AI bias by popularizing the idea of artificial general intelligence, AGI, which aims to generate more personalized information and data. To date, there have been multitudinous high-profile events where organizations have faced AI bias. In the healthcare industry, computer-aided diagnosis machines have been observed to return prejudiced accuracy results for Black patients only. A similar example of AI conjecture was when Amazon's automated recruitment system was reported to have discriminated against women by rating male applicants higher than female applicants. In 2016, Microsoft launched a chatbot named Tay, developed to engage in playful conversations with users of Twitter. However, within 24 hours, it started sharing racially discriminative and transphobic tweets based on its interactions with users. These are merely some of the many problems that businesses have encountered while relying on artificial intelligence. As the tree of AI has rapidly grown over the years, a robotic vacuum cleaner, Roomba, was introduced by iRobot in the year 2002. In 2011, Apple introduced Siri. Eugene Goostman, a chatbot, passed the Turing test in 2014, followed by Amazon's launch of the virtual assistant Alexa the same year. Moreover, in 2017, Google's AlphaGo defeated champion player KGA on all three games of Go it played against him. In my opinion, the impact of AI depends on how we use it. If we misuse our digital resources and become blindly dependent on them, then AI will surely bring great turmoil in global development. However, wisely making use of these resources will expand our effectiveness and at the same time maintain our self-government. Movies like Eagle Eye, Terminator, and Avengers: Age of Ultron highlight the jeopardies that unchecked AI can give rise to. Therefore, as digital citizens, it is imperative that we maximize cybersecurity by mindfully utilizing AI, because it is soon going to be carved into our lifestyles. From the Turing test to ChatGPT, the rise of AI in the past years has taken over a plethora of fields, such as customer service, retail, and marketing, among many others. But every big innovation comes with a big cost. Today, AI laws are being implemented, a sign that the reign of AI is inevitable for the human race. Only time will tell whether humanity will succumb to a world driven by algorithms and codes. Our next article from TeenVogue.com: How to Build a Credit History. This article was written by Meena Thuravengadam on June 12th, and there is a note. Teen Vogue's 20-somethings guide is your go-to resource for the more confusing parts of going out on your own. I started building my credit when I was 16. More than 20 years later, with a credit score of around 800 and thoughts of owning a home, I realized just how important that early step was. Like me, you can also start building your credit as early as high school. It may seem so early to be thinking about building credit, but the sooner you get educated about credit health and what it takes to have a strong credit profile, the more you can navigate your finances with confidence, says Farnoosh Tarabi, a financial expert and host of the Webby-winning podcast So Money. You have to be 18 to open a credit card or bank account on your own. If you're not yet 18, a parent or guardian can sign for you to open a bank account or add you as an authorized user to one of their credit cards, as my parents did. I got a card in my name, and my parents, who were ultimately responsible for the bill, were able to set a limit on my spending and help me learn not to go overboard. In case you're wondering, my limit was $500, and no, I didn't always manage it responsibly. There were times when I was late to make payments and charged more than I could pay off. Still, having that first credit card and my parents' help as I learned to use it responsibly made it significantly easier for me to get approved for my own credit when I got older. Read on to learn more about what you should know for building credit. What is a credit score? Your credit score is determined by a few things: how long you've been able to borrow money, how much you've borrowed, and how timely you are when making payments. A credit score above 680 is considered good and can make it easier to get approved for an apartment rental, credit card, or mortgage. A score above 750 will get you credit cards that offer the best perks, such as airline miles, free hotel rooms, airport lounge access, and, more important, the lowest interest rates. Auto loans, mortgages, and monthly installment loans, like those you might take out to buy a TV, pay for a vacation, or finance the purchase of new furniture without interest, can cause your credit score to dip temporarily. Make your payments on time to see your credit score bounce back. If you have any student loans, you'll see them represented on your credit report. Though it might be a hard figure to gauge, Torabi recommends students borrow no more than the salary they anticipate earning their first year out of college. If you run into challenges paying off your student loans in the future, she says, this can potentially hurt your credit score. There are three different companies that lenders consult for credit reports: Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And most rely on another company, FICO, to formulate your credit score. You can order a copy of your credit report for free and request corrections for any mistakes you find, including unpaid accounts you never opened. Tips for building credit. The best thing you can do for your credit score? Pay all your bills on time every month. If you do miss a credit card payment, try to catch up within 30 days. By this point, you'll have been charged a late fee by the credit card company, but your account won't yet be reported as being late. Set up automatic payments for your credit cards to make sure your minimum balance gets paid on time each month, but only if you're certain you'll have the money available in your account. Don't charge so much that balances become bigger than you can pay off. But if you must carry a balance, look for lower interest rates. Keep in mind, late fees and the penalty interest rates they trigger make it exponentially harder for borrowers to pay off debt. If you do have a credit card debt, avoid missing payments and pay off balances with the highest interest rates first. Your credit card debt likely carries a higher interest rate than your student loan or car note, so tackling credit card debt first can ultimately save you money. According to LendingTree, the average credit card has an annual purchase rate, or APR, interest rate and associated fees, of 24.71%. But rates on student cards can be as low as 18.94%. Borrowers with the best credit may be able to secure interest rates as low as 13.63%, according to the lending company's data. How do I get a credit card? As with getting a job, the first credit card on your own can be the hardest to get. It's a situation Janelle Dito, senior director at FICO, understands. It can seem like a catch-22 situation because, in order to get a credit score, you need a little bit of a credit history, she points out. If you're already in college, you may be able to open a credit card on your own, even if you don't have established credit or a full-time job. Capital One, for example, offers a Saver One credit card that is designed for college students who don't have established credit profiles. Discover also offers a student credit card. Another option is to start with a secured credit card. These low-limit cards may require a payment up front and function more like a debit card, but you can use them to show lenders you're taking a more responsible approach to managing your money. FICO scores evaluate secure cards the same way as any credit card, says Dito. Just be prepared for a higher APR, an average of around 27%, according to LendingTree. When you prove you can manage one credit card, it becomes easier to get another. Just remember, each new application for new credit will bring down your credit score by a few points, more if you struggle to manage your spending across a number of credit cards. Says Torabi, my mistake in the early days was opening up store credit cards because I wanted to earn the discounts and perks that came with them. Having a Bloomingdale's credit card made her feel like a grown-up, she says. But she quickly learned that having a wallet full of store credit cards isn't the best way to build credit. They encourage spending and can do more to hurt your credit than help. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Zac Efron recalls moment he knew High School Musical was going to be cool. This article was written by Ashley Carter on July 6th. Zac Efron is getting nostalgic for his High School Musical days. In a recent sit-down with Vanity Fair for their Scene Selection series, Efron rewatched some of his old movies and gave fans a little behind-the-scenes tidbit for each. The actor went through his roles in films including Neighbors, The Greatest Showman, The Iron Claw, his most recent movie, A Family Affair, and, of course, the role that launched him into stardom, High School Musical. "First thing that comes to mind is that I really drilled all those shots," Efron said as he watched a clip of him performing Get Your Head in the Game from HSM. "There's no CGI in there," he joked. "I don't think we had the budget for that, so that makes me feel good." Efron recalled how young and incredibly motivated the whole team of actors were while filming the Disney Channel original movie. Because it was a made-for-TV movie, Efron explained that it was a quick and small shoot. "We had a very condensed shooting schedule and very limited rehearsal time," Efron said. Director Kenny Ortega had pretty big ambitions for this movie, but I think he was pleasantly surprised when all the boys were, like, excited to not only fulfill what he wanted, but to take it one step further. Efron famously played the lead role as Troy Bolton, a high school basketball star who is torn between his ambitions with the sport and his love for musical theater. Typical. He starred alongside Vanessa Hudgens, Ashley Tisdale, Corbin Bleu, and more. When it came to the basketball sequence with the actors dribbling and dancing in sync, Efron said the cast only practiced it 2 days prior to shooting. "After like 5 takes, we nailed it. Like, we got it all in one," Efron explained. "They didn't cut from start to finish, and all of us were blown away." He continued, "I think that was the first time all of us went, 'Is this going to be cool? This felt really cool.' It was a really special moment, and I'm still just proud of all those guys for doing that, 'cause it was hard." After airing on Disney Channel in 2006, the franchise became one of Disney's biggest successes, spawning 2 sequels and a spin-off series. When the sequel premiered the following year, it set a cable viewership record with 17.2 million viewers. The third film received a theatrical release and raked in $250 million at the global box office. Efron has said he would be seriously down to return for a reboot of the films if the opportunity ever arose. The films flung Zac Efron into mainstream success and kicked off his career. But looking back on clips from the first movie, Efron had a huge smile on his face and seemed to remember it fondly. "I love you, Kenny Ortega. I miss you guys. Man, that's bringing it all back. I haven't watched that in years. That's crazy." Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Emma Roberts says she was horrified by Quiet on Set documentary. This article was written by Ashley Carter on July 6th. Emma Roberts said she's feeling really sad and shocked After learning about what some of her former Nickelodeon co-stars went through, following the bombshell documentary Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. In a recent wide-ranging interview with Variety, Roberts spoke about her most recent project, Space Cadet, being related to Julia Roberts, and her reaction to the documentary that exposed alleged on-set abuse and sexual misconduct. Roberts was the star of Nickelodeon's Unfabulous from 2004 to 2007 and said she was unaware of what was happening to other actors. "I watched Quiet on Set and I was completely horrified and shocked because that was not my experience," Roberts said. "It made me really, really, really sad that that was happening to people that I literally saw often and had no idea." Roberts went on to explain that at the time, her show Unfabulous had a woman showrunner named Sue Rose, which she realized now was not very common then. "But that was my intro into working on a TV show." Quiet on Set was released in March 2024 and alleged that Dan Schneider, a powerful producer and showrunner behind some of Nickelodeon's most popular shows, allegedly fostered an abusive environment and was described as being volatile and having inappropriate relationships with some of the actors on set. One of the biggest bombshells to come from the series was Drake Bell publicly speaking out about being repeatedly sexually abused by Nickelodeon acting coach Brian Peck. Peck pleaded no contest to two charges of sexual abuse and was sentenced to 16 months in prison and ordered to register as a sex offender. The documentary shed light on the limited access parents had while their kids were working on set, but Roberts said her mom was with her 24/7. "I would be like, 'You don't have to be here all the time.' She was like, 'I do, actually. I'm not letting you out of my sight. You're not going to a fitting by yourself when you're 13 years old." Emma Roberts isn't the only former star who is having a difficult time with the documentary's allegations. Ariana Grande recently opened up about reprocessing her time as a child star on the network in an interview with Podcrushed. Grande seemed to get emotional discussing the devastating allegations and how the environment needs to be made a lot safer for kids. Roberts echoed her sentiment. "It makes me really sad, and I just feel like children need to be protected on sets, as do adults, and I feel like we're working towards a better work environment in that sense. But yeah, that documentary really kept me up at night." We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at